So hold on for 1 minute. Micah, do you see the audio?
Just keep talking.
He says, keep talking. I don't remember a lot of sign language. We're working on it. We're working on it. Checking, checking. 1, 2, 3. Checking. 1, 2, 3. We got it now. All right. Okay, all that stuff that I just said is really important, but I can't go over it again. I mean, it's critically, we are experimenting today. Thank you for your patience. We have a whole new tech system set up, so we've got whole new issues to try to deal with and overcome. And we have people in the room. Can y'all say hi?
No.
Okay, we have people in the room. They're operating as we're being as safe as we can. We've got hand sanitizer. We've got masks. We're spread out. So. I am glad to have you here. My Google just talked to me. Like, why? I didn't want you to say hi, Google. Stop it. Now, this morning, I want to first address a rumor that's been going around. Somebody told me that after last week's message, there was some suspicion that maybe Michelle and I are working on getting our house ready to sell and leave town. Because we took out the jetted tub. But no, that isn't the plan. That isn't the plan. What we are recognizing is our youngest, our baby, is 17 years old. She's a senior in high school. And we have a house where we've raised 5 kids, and we are on the edge of an empty nest. So we don't want to be maintaining such a large house. That's all. And we want to make some improvements to it with enough time to be able to enjoy them before we do end up selling. So we plan on being there for a while longer, just to let those rumors rest. And also, I want to let you know, we were on vacation. It was wonderful. I didn't realize how stressed I was. I really didn't become myself until like Thursday, and we started on Sunday, and it helped me to realize how stressful our environment is right now. I remember hearing that as we move towards opening things up, instead of people feeling less anxious, there's actually more anxiety going on now than there was when everything was shut down. And when a psychologist was asked, well, why is that? Why are people feeling higher anxiety now? He said, well, because when everything was shut down, it was simple. We knew. I just have to stay home. That's it. That's all. Now there's all kinds of questions about, what does it look like for businesses to be open safely, schools to be open, churches to be open? And there's all kinds of disagreements about what it should look like and what is the safest way and should we even be doing it? And then there's all kinds of unknowns. Am I going to be safe if I go to work? Are my kids going to be safe if they go to school? And it's all this uncertainty that creates anxiety. Anxiety is basically having a hard time coping with uncertainty. So we've got a lot of uncertainty in the world today. So anxiety is high, stress is high. And I certainly felt that when I was able to get away for a little while. And it took me days to kind of come down from the stress, anxiety, and I would even say depression, things that I had been enjoying, I wasn't enjoying as much. So today's message is about addressing that. It's about how the Apostle Paul spoke into the stress and the anxiety and the division that was going on in the early church. And I'm calling this message Peace in Three Pieces, because in Philippians chapter 4, we see the Apostle Paul address kind of peace on three different levels in three different ways. And so I want to, if you're anything like like me, and just having a hard time taking a deep breath and relaxing and experiencing peace, this is a word from God for you today. Let's pray that we would hear from Him. God, there are some challenging truths that we are going to address, and there are some exciting promises. I pray, God, that we would be humble enough to let Your truth challenge us, that we would be open enough to receive Your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we look at Philippians chapter 4, if I jump to verse 2, we read, "Now I appeal to you, Euodia." I practice these names, I promise you. "I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche." Now, I don't know why it is that some biblical names are really popular and some you just never hear. Who has, show of hands, anybody friend named Syntyche? No? But Paul is appealing to them and he's saying, "Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement." So in Philippi, 2,000 years ago, there was a church where people disagreed with each other. Can you even imagine what that would be like? And yet here, there's a church where people are in disagreement. And he says, "And I ask you, my true partner," now this could be to a specific person or it could be to anybody reading this, "my true partner, to help these two women. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life." So we don't know much about these two women. We know their names. We know that they worked hard to share the gospel. And we know that they're in a disagreement with each other. And I know I'm only joking when I say that a disagreement would be unusual within the church, even in situations going on right now. If I say, and this before the state gave the order that if people were to gather here, they would be required to wear masks unless I'm teaching. I would, before they gave that order, if I were to say, "We're going to invite a limited number of people into experience the live biblical teaching together and masks will be required," I will have people in this church. This isn't theoretical. This isn't somewhere else. I will have people in this church who say, "I will not be there. I am against masking. I will not be there if masks are required." And at the same time, if I say, "You're invited to biblical teaching, to experience it live in a room, masks are voluntary," I will have people who say, "I will not be there because I won't be in a room unless masks are required. So I won't be there if masks are required. I won't be there unless masks are required." These are two opinions, two positions that people within our church take today. There is a disagreement there. And I'm not saying that one is right and one is wrong. What I'm pointing out is disagreements exist in the church. And people have reasons for those disagreements. If I were to talk to somebody in this church, there are people who would say, "Yes, I believe Black Lives Matter." And then as soon as other people in the church heard that, there are some other people who would jump in and say, "Blue Lives Matter, all lives matter." And we'd have a disagreement. I'm not talking theoretical. I'm not talking it's possible. That I'm saying there are people in our fellowship. And remember, what's a fellowship? Diverse people coming together to be unified on a mission. Within our fellowship of diverse people unified on mission, there are disagreements about things that are going on in the world today. It's a fact. It's true. It's real. And Paul speaks into the church in Philippi and says, you need to settle your disagreement. Because you belong to the Lord, you need to find unity. In my reading this morning, you're not going to see this come up on the screen. I'm just talking about my personal Bible reading this morning. I was in Ephesians chapter 4, and I read, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Binding yourselves together with peace. So is the church made up of diverse parts? Yes. Are we to bind ourselves together with peace? Yes. So this message is peace in three pieces. And the first piece is peace with each other. The first piece of these is finding peace with each other. Paul gives us clues about how to do this and what this looks like earlier in the book of Philippians. And I'm going to read from chapter 2. And in the chat section, it's going to come up for you. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It's really more of a word-for-word translation. He says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, and I want to ask you, do you, even in the midst of confusion and hard times, when you think about what Christ did for you and who he is and the invitation that he gave to you, do you find encouragement in that? Can you find encouragement in that today? There are actual people in here, and I am actually looking at you, and I am actually looking for some kind of response. Okay, all right. Yes, we can find encouragement in Christ. Is there any consolation in love? Is there any comfort that comes from knowing that God loves you? Okay, all right, good, good. Is there encouragement? Is there comfort? If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, do you feel, I saw it when people came in today and you're talking to each other and there's fellowship happening in the Spirit. If any affection and compassion, he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So he's saying, if you're feeling any encouragement from Christ, any comfort from God's love for you, any unity in the Spirit, if you're experiencing any of that, then it also experience the unity. Be bound together on one purpose and watch out for the things that divide our purposes. If we don't have humility of mind, if we're not regarding other people as more important than ourselves, then that's going to jeopardize our unity. So what does that look like? If I'm holding a position and I'm in disagreement with someone else in the church, I've got to look at my own position and consider, am I being selfish in this? If new information came in, would I be willing to change my position? Or has this become a position of identity for me, a position of pride for me that I cannot change? Even if there's new information that's presented to me, I have to consider that, and I have to be ready to shift or change my position if there's more to be learned in the situation. And is there usually more to be learned in a situation? Yeah. But more than that, not only do I have to check myself, because I know that my heart is deceitful, that I want to protect myself. So yes, I can justify myself. And we see that in Scripture, people justifying themselves. I can justify myself. I need to go one step further. And the other thing I need to do is consider that person who I'm in disagreement with and consider, how might their position be a position of compassion in a position of love. See, often when we make our own position, we assume that someone else's position is wrong or bad, or they haven't thought it through, or they don't have enough information. We don't think through how, for instance, somebody who's saying, I'm against masking, and if we're for masking, we might not consider that they have some compassionate reason for taking that position. Somebody who is against masking might need to, in certain situations, humble themselves and say, okay, I am against masking, but there are certain situations where there's new information that becomes available that I say, okay, I will. I will humble myself and I will do what I do not prefer in this situation. We saw some of that go on in backyard missions. We're serving people who often are compromised in some way, their health is. And I thank God that I know there were people there who did not prefer masking, and yet when put in a situation where they have the opportunity to express love to someone through serving them, and that someone is, for instance, undergoing cancer treatment, that somebody would say, I am against masking. However, if this helps create a relationship with somebody who needs to know the love of Christ, then I will do what I do not prefer. Thank God that we have people who are willing to live out that kind of humility for the purpose of being on mission together. Are you guys tracking with me here? There is a mission, there is a purpose, and it has very little to do with our specific positions on certain things. We need to compromise in some situations. We need to give a little in some situations if it means that we are going to be able to see the gospel of Jesus Christ invade a world that needs to know him, right? That's the unity that Paul is talking about here. So yes, we can be in disagreement, and we can continue to be in disagreement. We don't have to make somebody come to our position on a certain thing as long as we can still move the gospel forward in our communities, as long as we can still accomplish the mission. Peace with each other is what Paul is encouraging to the church in Philippi and what he encourages to us today. And then peace within yourself. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this passage because we've already been here. We kind of dug into this when we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And if you weren't part of that teaching series, you can find it on our Facebook page. Just look for fruit of the Spirit and look under peace. We see in Philippians chapter 4, if we continue in verse 4, Paul says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And don't we need that? I know I do. He says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. This is a bridge between peace with each other and peace within yourself. You need to be considerate in everything that you do. And then he says, remember, the Lord is coming soon. We've got to be on mission because we don't have unlimited time. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Just let me say that again. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Let me see if I've been teaching well over the last few months. What are the two key questions that help us move into prayer in the way that Paul teaches here? What are the two key questions? You guys know? And would you say it out loud? Come on. Those of you at home, I hope you're answering as well. And we just have a shy group here, but there are two key questions that help move us into prayer. Like when we're in a small group or when we meet somebody and we want to find out if there's some way that we can pray for them. Okay, shy group. What are you thankful for? Yes. And someone else, what's the other one? What's stressing you out? What are you thankful for and what's stressing you out? These are two questions that just help us move into this posture of prayer. Don't worry about anything. Consider what you're worrying about and bring it to God. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Now, I want you to listen to this promise. As we make those questions a part of our lives, what are you thankful for? What's stressing you out? And we turn that into prayer and praise to Him. Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It's not going to make sense. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I know I need God's peace guarding my heart and my mind right now. Let's be a people whose hearts and minds are guarded by the peace of God as we pray to Him. Now, we have a 24 hours of prayer event coming up August 22nd and 23rd. Did I get the date right? Yes! August 22nd and 23rd from 9 a.m. on Saturday to 9 a.m. on Sunday. 24 hours of prayer and fasting. This is to drive us into this idea of the importance of prayer. And you can sign up for 1 hour of those 24. Sign up for one of the 24 hours. And if you just hit like on sign me up for 1 hour of prayer on August 22nd to 23rd, we'll help you get put into one of those hours. The promise is peace within you. So peace with each other, peace within you. And then the third piece of peace is the God of peace. So if we continue in Philippians with verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. This is another promise to hold on to. The God of peace will be with you. So we need to take an inventory. If we're feeling anxious, if we're feeling stressed, if we're feeling worried, we need to take an inventory of what are we fixing our eyes on? What are we letting into our minds and hearts? And the criteria that Paul puts out is, it's so difficult for anything to hold up to this. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? And for some of us, we get hung up on the first one. Is it true? How do we even know what's true anymore? Because we're getting alternate facts thrown at us. We need to be a people of discernment. The promise is that as we mature in Christ, as we put into practice, as Paul says, as we put into practice what we're learning, as we follow the example of Christ, then we will be mature. We're not going to be fooled by things that are out there to trick us. What is true? Some of us, as we think about what we've been listening to, what we've been watching, whether it's the particular news or music or shows or whatever it is, we need to reconsider it. And I'm not talking about becoming super legalistic here. I'm talking about if Jesus were to visit you today and ask you, well, what do you like about this show that you're watching? What do you like about this music that you're listening to? What do you like about this particular news station or reporter? What do you like about this? That we should have an answer. And that the answer should somehow be tied to something about excellence, to something about purity, to something about it being admirable and lovely and true. It should have some tie to that. And as the Apostle Paul says, to fix your eyes on these things, I want to encourage you to consider, what do you have around your house? This is just a simple application. We at different times have had different Bible verses around our house. Michelle actually used to write a Bible verse on the mirror in the kids' bathroom, something to put truth in front of them every morning and every night, something to encourage them. She's really smart. Another thing she did is she took some photographs that we took and she turned them into things that we could hang on the wall. So this is a picture from the waterfront of Lake Ellen Bible Camp. And this is a picture of the waterfront at Crescent Lake Bible Camp. And these hang up in our bedroom because we want our bedroom to be a place of retreat, a place of peace. And these are places where we have just a treasure of memories with our families. And not only that, we have made, and our kids have made, significant spiritual decisions in these places. So these pictures become for us a reminder, kind of our history, our heritage, of times where we have been at peace with each other, within ourselves, and with the God of peace. So what do you have in your heritage, in your history, in your past, that you could put up as a reminder of the God of peace, that you could look at and see something that's excellent and true and lovely and honorable? Think about that and then do that. Peace in three pieces: peace with each other, peace within yourself, and the God of peace guarding your hearts. What an amazing and important way that we need to be building each other and the church during this time. So let me bless you with peace today. In Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron," there's a good biblical name. "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing." And that's what I'm going to do right now. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Verse 27, "Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace." We'll see you next week.